down to follow the sound. This is the davito.org newsletter for November 28th, 2007. I'm Adardo Davito from Sapporo. Welcome. Thank you for listening. This week in the newsletter, I have another special on fingerprinting. We talk about anger in the blogosphere and what you heard, how NHK kept critics and protests out of broadcast, a Yomi Uri editorial justifying fingerprinting, a Sankei article on fingerprinting snafus, the Yomiuri and Nikkei mistakenly trumpet five people caught in the news system while the Sankei contradicts that. Then let's talk about what got muffled. The Mainichi talks about refusers are going to be incarcerated and forced to be fingerprinted. The Asahi reports how 38% of U.S. visit databases are mistakes. And also talks about Tokyo and Narita losing personal data 432 non-Japanese. And the Yomiuri talks about how the Self-Defense Forces and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs have lost computer data in Belgium and in Japan. And what you should have heard, the Mainichi talks about the Amnesty SMJ public action outside the Ministry of Justice. We have some protests and parody posters. France 24 TV has an interview in French and English, calls it Japan's 1984. The New York Times calls fingerprinting a disaster for Japanese business. Then, Accenture, maker of the fingerprint machines, is now hiring in Japan and using Tiger Woods as its symbol. And then we have a concluding statement from myself with prognostications for the present course. We will have a hastened economic obscurity for Japan at this rate. All right, let's talk about anger in the blogosphere. In all my 20 years of Japan, I've never seen the non-Japanese community so angry. Not during the Kaijin All Have AIDS scare of 1986, the Otaru Onsen's case of 1999, the Ishihara anti-Gaijin, anti-crime, Sangokujin speech media campaigns of 2000, the anti-hooligan scare before and during World Cup 2002, the Al-Qaeda scare 2005, the publication of the Gaijin Hanzai Ura Fighter magazine last February, or the Foreign Crime is Rising National Police Agency media campaigns every 6 months. This time, there's a very faith-no-more element to it all. I'm receiving links to angry diatribes on the fingerprint policy in the blogosphere. There's a couple that leave a lasting impression. You can see them on my blog, of course. One of the links opposes Japan's bid for the Olympics with an A to Z of what Japan's been doing wrong, and that inspired protests and claims of hate speech and unsubstantiated accusations about Japan. I guess when the shoe's on the other foot, it's not very pleasant now, is it? Fancy that. If you know of any other sites, please send links to the comment section at my site. Angry, humorous, ironic, pointed is fine, racist is not. So, exercise discretion, please. The point is, how else are non-Japanese going to express their anger when they are this disenfranchised in Japanese society, where the media machines for manufacturing consent will ultimately pit the entire Japanese society against the Gaijin through completely unfounded assertions of criminality, terrorism, and allegedly effective preventative measures that single people out for discrimination by race, nationality, and national origin. How else? Well, the blogosphere, of course, vent away. How things work over here to create Team Japan versus the world has never come out as clearly as now, especially when you consider what the Japanese media has muffled. And now for the next part, what you didn't hear. YouTube NHK, keep critics and protests out of broadcast. A reader wrote in to say about the NHK 7 p.m. news on November 19th, the day before the fingerprinting came online. Absolutely no mention of fingerprinting non-Japanese entering Japan starting tomorrow. I'll give them another chance tomorrow night, but that's it. If they don't find this new policy newsworthy, why should the foreign community pay for NHK? Also notable is that it is still hard to find a regular Japanese person who is even aware the policy is coming into effect. Not surprising, really, if NHK has nothing to say about it. End of comment. A reader named Vincent then uploaded the November 20th NHK 7 p.m. evening news section about fingerprinting, 2 minutes and 52 seconds, with the English dubbing. You can see it up on my blog linked. And he did the same with the NHK News Watch 9 p.m., somewhat longer and more detailed than the evening news at 7 o'clock, and it's on YouTube, 6 minutes and 10 seconds, with a greater attempt at balance. But still, far more airtime given to making the government's case. Link up on my blog. As for the November 20th, 11 p.m. news shows, 10 p.m.'s news station put it on as a blurb at the very end, I watched Chikashi Tetsuya's News 23 that day. They fingered the fingerprint story very prominently, with an interview with critics. Amnesty International's Teranaka Makoto said that fingerprinting has caught very few people, if any, and is in no way an effective measure. And News 23 even did a report at the AISMJ demonstration at noon that day. There were some interviews included with non-Japanese who grumbled about the weight of the gates. Summary comments by anchors at the end questioned why Japan was instituting this program at all. Also, Zero News gave it about 5 minutes early, with some more coverage of machines not behaving properly, and very annoyed tourists. There was one elderly Korean using some pretty impressive angry English. The point of both was that the whole thing is a mess. NHK BS 1050 didn't even bother to have it in their headlines. As others have said, it makes one wonder why non-Japanese would ever bother to pay NHK fees when something like this affects at least 1.5 million Japanese residents. Millions more if you include their Japanese families. This is unignorable news. Whatever coverage there was basically towed the government's line and gave little, if any, coverage to the controversy. Very, very disappointing in NHK. Contrast that with CNN, which devoted half their article to the criticisms. Let me excerpt the criticisms only. Japan begins identifying foreigners. CNN, November 20th, 2007. Courtesy of Olaf Karthus. Thank you. Critics, however, said the measures discriminate against foreigners and violate their privacy. A group of nearly 70 civic groups from around the world delivered a letter of protest Monday to Justice Minister Kunio Hatoyama. Quote, "We believe that your plans are a gross and disproportionate infringement upon civil liberties, copying the most ineffective, costly, and risky practices on border management from around the world." End quote. Immigration officials said the Bureau plans to store the data for, quote, "a long time," unquote, without saying how long. It is unclear how many people will be affected. Japan had 8.11 million entries in 2006. Last month, Justice Minister Hatoyama came under fire over his assertion that a friend of his had an acquaintance who was a member of the Al-Qaeda terrorist group. End of article. Thanks. But the fix was in, RE domestic media coverage right from the start. Let's take a look at a Yomiuri editorial. Hoo-ha! Here's the best argument yet for fingerprinting almost all foreign visitors, all foreigners, thus portrayed. All put together nicely for one-stop shopping. The Yomiuri's November 19th editorial was right on cue, with its fundamental association of extra nationality with criminality and insecurity. Note how anti-crime was Trojan-horsed into the argument for anti-terrorism. Article begins, Yomiuri Shimbun, November 19. Excerpt. The main objective of the revised law is to block terrorists and foreign criminals from entering the country. If it is proven to be effective, Japan's reputation as a safe country will be bolstered. The scanned fingerprint data will be cross-checked against a blacklist on a database in a few seconds. If the data matches that of suspected criminals on the police's wanted list, or information on terrorists obtained through the United Nations and Interpol, the Immigration Bureau will immediately reject their entry into Japan and notify the police. The new immigration checks will be useful in preventing such illegal entries into Japan. The government needs to cooperate with other countries and constantly update the database. Fighting terrorism is a common task for the international society. These countries obviously recognize its importance. Japan will host the Group of Eight summit meeting at the Lake Toya Hot Spring Resort in Toyokocho, Hokkaido, next year. Together with strengthening immigration checks, we hope the government will take all possible means to ensure coastal security and prevent terrorism in this country. End of article. Comment. If you want the quintessential parroting of the xenophobes with their hands in the levers of power, the Yomiuri provides it. Thanks, Yomiuri. I wonder why any non-Japanese subscribes to your English paper. But the primary assumptions still remain: efficient and effective data collection, secure storage, and effective checking against a database. All of these things, this newsletter will show, are not true. For example, here's a funny article. Sankei talks about fingerprinting snafus. Article begins, "First day of new immigration system, continuous trouble. Sankei Shimbun, November 20th. This is translated by yours truly. Article begins, "November 20th, day the new biometric system was inaugurated for foreigners at immigration, has seen continuous troubles at every port of entry with taking prints and equipment failure. There were errors with reading data for about 30 people at Hakata Port. and after redoing the procedure, only 4 people were recorded. The immigration official in charge decided to waive the procedure and let everyone in. The official claimed the equipment was not faulty, rather, quote, "it seems there were a lot of elderly people whose fingerprints had been worn down after years on the farm," end quote. At Narita Airport, one Australian man's fingerprints were unreadable, and the process took more than an hour. According to the Immigration Bureau at Narita, there are cases where people's fingerprints were too dry to be read. At Shin-Chitose Airport in Hokkaido, there were reports of more failures, the cause again seen as dry skin. At Fushiki Toyama Port, Toyama Prefecture, 3 of the 5 portable fingerprint readers were inoperative right after the start of usage. After rebooting their systems, only one machine became operable, and it died after 30 minutes. Use was discontinued. Rest at my blog. Comment. In my high school psychology class, we learned about a mental process called projection, i.e., where a batter blames the bat instead of himself for a strikeout. Well, immigration that day was a paragon of projection. Farmers and dry skin? Maybe the system is just no damn good from the start. Or maybe it's just plain karma? So now the compliant media turned its attention to damage control. Next article, Yomiuri and Nikkei mistakenly trumpet 5 caught in new system, while the Sankei contradicts them. We have some links to 3 articles in Japanese trumpeting this success, and of course they were all done in the middle of the night so as to make the morning editions. First article, quote, 5 people match fingerprint blacklist, denied entry at the border. This is the Yomiuri Shimbun, November 21st, 2007 at 3:09 a.m. Translated by yours truly. With the amendment of the Fingerprint and Refugee Control Act, as of November 20th, all foreigners, thus written, coming to Japan must be fingerprinted. As a result, 5 people were denied entry, as their fingerprints matched those on a blacklist. Most of those people had been deported in the past, or had tried to come into Japan on fake passports. One person was immediately deported, while the remainder were issued orders to leave. The blacklist includes data such as 1. 14,000 names created by Interpol with the Japanese police. 2. About 800,000 names of people who have been deported for overstaying their visas in Japan. With the advent of the Immigration Act revisions, new entry procedures were enacted in ports of entry such as Narita, Kansai, and Osaka airports, and those 5 people matched the fingerprints on the blacklist. Rest at my blog. Comment. Hey, we caught 'em. See how the system is working and how much we need it? Despite the fact that it was also reported on November 20th that nobody was refused at all? You know, that's right, actually. I'm going to read you another Sankei article and read past the headline. 5 people refused entry to Japan for previous history. System to inspect fingerprints and facial photos. Sankei Shimbun, November 21st, 2007, at 2:02 a.m., translated by yours truly. With the new immigration system requiring facial photos and fingerprints from all foreigners over the age of 16, again, thus written, 5 people's fingerprints matched those of people who had been refused entry in the past in the database, according to the Ministry of Justice. Of those 5, it seems 3 were using altered or falsified passports and were processed for deportation. The remaining 2 were given orders to leave. No foreigner was refused entry at the border for refusing to give fingerprints. The Justice Ministry also announced that at Obihiro, Narita, Chubu International, and Fukuoka airports, as well as at Hakata Seaport, a total of 21 people's fingerprints were impossible to read. The reason seems to be that they were elderly and had thus worn down fingers. Those 21 were given oral interviews by immigration and allowed in. The ministry added that, quote, under immigration directives, if we can't scan their fingerprints properly, we will still process them for entry into Japan. And the rest is up at my blog. Comment. In other words, 3 of the 5 were caught for funny passports, the other 2 for other reasons left unclear but at immigration's discretion. Which means bagging those 5 was unrelated to the fingerprint policy. This sort of thing happens on a daily basis and is not news, unless there is a political reason for making it so, right? One so political, it generates a lie in the face of science and technology. As Kimpatsu commented to Debito.org on November 21st, quote, Debito, I can tell you for certain that this snagging of 5 people is completely unrelated to the fingerprinting. Know why? I bet you mistakenly think that the photos and fingerprints are processed in real time, and if Osama bin Laden tries to enter Japan, an alarm will sound, right? Wrong. There is no computer powerful enough to process biometric data in real time. Instead, at the end of each working day, the data is info-dumped to a center in Tokyo for processing. There will inevitably be a backlog, because the center is closed at weekends, and the best a computer can do is throw out possible matches, which must then be verified manually. Forget CSI, in which the computer positively matches fingerprints before the next commercial break. That's just fantasy. Consequently, Osama has enough time to enter Japan, blow up Tokyo, and depart before his biometric data has been processed. The new system doesn't make people safer, it only makes them feel safer, which is not the same thing. But then again, when dealing with the scientifically ignorant, we're dealing with an absolute majority. And as Olaf concurs, quote, "Look at the FBI file here," and he provides a link, "and this was 11 years ago. Real-time data analysis is gaining speed, but you are right that there will be an inevitable backlog. Even the FBI says that they have a 99.99% correct identification rate." I forget the source, had to look again. "With 8 million processed data sets every year, that means that there are 800 misidentified people per year, more than two a day. If this misidentification matches an innocent person as being on a criminal database, with several million data sets worldwide, this is likely to happen. This false positive match must be checked manually. One print per millisec, 8 million prints, do the math. 8,000 seconds, or nearly 3 hours. Pity the guy for whom the hit comes early in the search, while he is still in transit at immigration. Detention, grilling, at worst deportation. At best, a missed connection flight, and waiting Japanese members on the other side, Utsukushi Nippon, right? Of course, this will never be reported in the press. Faulty fingerprint ID, tourist mistakenly deported. What a pity." End quote. Two associations for you to make right now: fingertips and sandpaper. Meanwhile, the government of Japan is already changing the force of law into the law of force. Let's talk about what you should be hearing about, but did not really make it very far into the media. The Mainichi reports that fingerprint refusers will be incarcerated and forced to be fingerprinted. This is the Mainichi November 21st. The Justice Ministry has now issued a Tsuchi directive. This is the government of Japan bureaucrats' way of minting new laws without going through a legislative body, and it grants immigration more powers. People who refuse to get fingerprinted will not only be refused at the border, but also forced to have fingerprints taken, and a physical inspection and incarceration in the airport gaijin tank. What this means for uncooperative permanent residents and their Japanese spouses, the article notes, is incarceration with quote-unquote extra persuasion, without, they say, the threat of force, but with all this extra legality going on, fat chance. This is from the Mainichi Shimbun, November 21st, Foreign Fingerprinting. Non-compliers forced to be fingerprinted. This is the Ministry of Justice. This is translated by yours truly, thanks to Tony. As an anti-terrorism, etc. measure under the new immigration inspection system, requiring fingerprints from all foreigners coming to Japan, okay, here it is thus written again, the Mainichi has learned that the Ministry of Justice's Immigration Bureau has issued a directive, Tsuchi, to all regional divisions, saying that foreigners who refuse fingerprinting and rejection at the border are to be forced to be fingerprinted. Although the Ministry of Justice originally explained this system as an offering of fingerprints without coercion, they have now indicated that they will implement this measure with the option of compulsion, or kyoseidyoku in Japanese, against anyone who refuses. It is anticipated that this will strengthen criticisms that, quote, this system is treating foreigners as criminals, end quote. This policy of collecting biometric data is being affected at airports and seaports whenever foreigners enter the country, compared on the spot with stored immigration data of people with histories of being deported from Japan or blacklisted overseas. If fingerprints match, entry into the country will be denied, as will people who refuse to cooperate with the collection of data. Yep, they're still putting forth that fiction. If the person denied refuses to comply with a deportation order, immigration will implement forcible deportation orders and render the person to a holding cell within the airport. Whether or not fingerprints will be taken during incarceration had until now not been made clear. However, based upon an immigration directive issued during the first week of this month, it is now clear that, quote, for safety reasons, when necessary, People may now have their bodies inspection, which is Shintai Kensa in Japanese. End quote. And immigration officers have now been empowered to take fingerprints from those who refuse to cooperate. The directive also demands video recording of the proceedings. Afterwards, refusers will be rendered to the appropriate transportation authorities for deportation. However, in the case of permanent residents and their Japanese spouses who have livelihoods in Japan, what the country of origin for deportation will exactly mean is bound to present a problem. Immigration officials reply, quote, "We will sufficiently persuade," setoku in Japanese, "the refuser to cooperate, and endeavor not to do this by force," end quote. According to a source familiar with immigration laws, immigration searches are something done in the case when a foreign national is under suspicion for breaking the law, such as overstaying his visa. In principle, fingerprinting is a voluntary act, and forcible fingerprinting rarely occurs. The source adds, quote, "If we just don't let the refuser into the country, there is nothing dangerous they can do," end quote. He questions whether or not it is justifiable to forcibly fingerprint the person and add them to a blacklist of deportees. Rest up on my blog with a much shorter and milder official English translation in the Mainichi of the same article for your comparison. Now let's look at the emerging garbage-in, garbage-out situation. This is from the Asahi. Headline, 38% of U.S. visit databases are mistakes. So much for the effectiveness of the U.S. visit system the current fingerprinting regime is muddled upon. My source of information is the American Embassy in Tokyo, their Public Affairs Section, Office of Translation and Media Analysis. This is their daily summary of Japanese press, November 21st, 2007. It's an excerpt. Item 8. U.S. system of screening visitors, mistakes, contradictions found in 38% of those cited on monitoring list. This is from the Asahi, November 19, 2007. Excerpt. The U.S. visit system was introduced in 2004. The system is almost the same as Japan's. Anna Hinken, an officer of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, proudly said, quote, "We have rejected the entry of more than 2,000 persons who were considered a security risk since the system was introduced." End quote. But a U.S. government agency poses questions about the system's technology and credibility. This July, the U.S. General Accounting Office criticized the U.S. visit program as seriously fragile in view of information control. He pointed out the possibility that personal data, including fingerprint data, might be altered or copied by someone from the outside due to insufficient security measures. In September, an auditor of the Justice Department emphasized how inaccurate blacklists are. The editor said that as a result of a sampling check of the terrorism affiliates included in the monitoring list, mistakes or contradictions were found in 38% of those checks. The names of some terror suspects left out of the list, or innocent persons appearing on it. The monitoring list was compiled by integrating those of such government agencies as the FBI and the Transportation Security Administration, and the list is not open to the public. As of April this year, the number of those listed was 700,000. The number reportedly increases by 20,000 per month. American Civil Liberties Union member Barry Steinhardt said, quote, "There should not be so many terrorists. This list is unreliable. In addition, since the list is classified and not publicized, it is impossible to check how effectively it has worked to prevent terrorism," end quote. The monitoring list has also affected civic life. There are cases in which citizens unrelated to terrorism appeared on the list, or in which a person who has the same family or personal name as a certain suspect was stopped at an airport security check. The U.S. visit system also tends to give travelers an unpleasant impression about the nation. Rest up at my blog. Comment. I might add that the original article has been unavailable online at Asahi.com, even shortly after it first appeared. No wonder. Thanks to the United States government for archiving it. And here's something else equally archivable. I had it on file for months, waiting for just such an occasion. This is from the Asahi Shimbun, March 28, 2007. One of immigration's mantras has been how they will take proper care of all the biometric data they drag out of their gaijin patsies. But I'm not confident of that in light of what happened last May. Look at this incompetence in spades. Article begins. Tokyo Immigration Bureau loses personal data for a total 432 foreigners. This is translated by yours truly, full text. Tokyo Immigration announced on March 28th that it had lost flash memory at its headquarters and at Narita Airport branch. This is regarding personal information for visa overstayers and deported foreigners. They say that no trace of it remains, and there is no danger of the data being misused, but the same agency said last December 2006 that an immigration official in his 30s, based at headquarters, had lost saved memories, names, dates of birth, embarkation points, and other documented details for 137 overstayers currently being processed for deportation. Also last December, another official in his 20s, based at Narita, had lost saved memory in the form of a deportation notebook. In that, an additional 295 foreigners had had their names, dates of birth, reasons for deporting, etc., recorded for deportation. On a similar note, the Yomiuri reports this. 731 self-defense applicants' details leaked onto internet. This is from the Yomiuri Shimbun, November 18, 2007, excerpted article begins. Personal details of 731 people who passed the first-stage entrance examination for recruitment by the self-defense forces have been accidentally uploaded onto the internet. Families of examinees have expressed their dismay over the mishandling of the information. Quote, "The situation which saw detailed personal information made available online is a serious error that caused problems for the examinees. They have to realize the severity of the situation," end quote. Another person said, quote, "I worked as an SDF officer. I think it was disgraceful. They let their guard down, and now we're afraid what the information could be used for. The Defense Ministry has been hit by so many scandals that even as a former officer, I find it hard to be proud." Rest of my blog. Comment. Well, it's nice of the Yomiuri to devote at least a third of this article to those affected by the leaks. Criticism is okay as long as it comes from Team Japan, I guess. Here's another article to show that this is in fact nothing new. This is from an online source called The Register at theregister.co.uk, Japanese finger of virus for a police document leak. This is the 7th of April 2004, quite a while ago. Excerpt. Japanese police are blaming a computer virus for a leak of information about criminal investigations. Information from 19 documents, including investigation reports, expert opinions, and police searches, found its way from the hard disk of an officer onto the net last month. The names, birthdays, addresses, and other personal data of 11 people were listed in the leaked documents, along with a detailed description of an alleged crime. Police have promised to notify the 11, including an alleged crime victim, to explain the cock-up. Rest of my blog. And you know, it's not limited to stupidity within Japan. This is from the Mainichi Shimbun, November 5th, 2007. It's an excerpt, article entitled, 9 Laptop Computers Stolen from Japanese Embassy in Belgium. Article begins, "Thieves broke in to the Japanese embassy in Belgium and stole 9 laptop computers, including one belonging to the consul. The break-in is believed to have occurred between the evening of November 2nd and the pre-dawn hours of November 3rd, 2007. Officials said nothing besides the computers had been stolen. They added that no confidential diplomatic information had been leaked outside the embassy. Japanese officials have asked the government in Belgium to boost security in the wake of the incident." Rest at my blog. The Yomiuri, moreover, has it at not 9 laptops, but 11, with details on their contents. And as contributor Michelle writes, if they can't take care of personal information for their own citizens, how can they be expected to take care of foreigners' information? Now for some information you're not going to hear via the Yomiuri Nikkei or NHK. Mainichi talks about public action outside the Ministry of Justice. This is November 20th, 2007, by Ryan Connell. It's entitled, "Protesters Flip the Bird at Justice Ministry Over Forced Fingerprinting." Excerpt. Protesters inflated a 3-meter-high yellow hand with an extended forefinger and thrust it towards the Justice Ministry's office on Tuesday to demonstrate against a controversial fingerprinting policy beginning at ports of entry across the country the same day. About 80 protesters turned towards the ministry building and shouted in unison their opposition to the new policy, which requires all but a handful of foreigners to have their fingerprints and face photos taken to gain entry into Japan. Representatives of human rights groups, labor unions, foreigners groups, and individuals spoke out against the system, similar to the U.S. visit policy operating in the United States, but also targeting residents and not just tourists, calling it, among other things, racist, xenophobic, retrogressive, I think that's my word, thank you, and an invasion of human rights and privacy. Quote, It's an expression of Japanese xenophobia. Japan is using this system as a tool to control foreigners. For the past few years, the government has been associating foreigners with things like crime and terrorism, said Sonoko Kawakami, campaign coordinator for Amnesty International Japan, which organized Tuesday's demonstration. Lim Yong-ki, a representative of the Korean Youth Association in Japan, pointed out how ethnic Koreans had fought for decades, until the 2000 abolition of fingerprinting and alien registration cards, only to see the process revived through the back door now. This system is supposedly an anti-terrorism measure, but it is extremely harmful to individuals, and only applying the systems to foreigners shows a lack of consideration for foreigners' human rights. Even though the system of fingerprinting foreigners was completely abolished in April 2000, it's infuriating that the Japanese government has reinstated this practice. Another foreign woman who identified herself only as Jennifer said she is a permanent resident, having lived in Japan for 38 years and with a Japanese husband and Japanese national children. Quote, "They already have my photo and fingerprint many times over," she said. "This step is quite unnecessary." But an official from the Justice Ministry's Immigration Bureau dismissed the protesters' claims. Yasuhiro Togo of the Immigration Bureau says, quote, "This system was introduced to protect the lives and safety of citizens," thus written, "by preventing terrorism. There were rational reasons and necessities in introducing the system, which was approved by the Diet," end quote, adding that the methods of fingerprinting differ from the abolished alien registration certificate system. Quote, "The aim of taking fingerprints is different. We're fighting against terrorism, and we will not be forcing people to put their fingers into ink, as used to be the case. The fingerprints will all be taken and stored electronically," end quote. The government says the new system is aimed at combating terrorism, but has also said it will provide data to crime-fighting authorities upon request. The Immigration Bureau's Togo said such information would be handled in accordance with the Private Information Protection Law. He added that information collected by immigration authorities would not be handed over to foreign governments. Comment. So, which is it? The government will share its data with other governments, or won't it? The government is taking fingerprints like before, or isn't it? The data is secure, or isn't it? It's enough to make one laugh out loud at the absurdity and double talk. And to that end, at David.org, we have protests with parody posters, t-shirts, postcards with multilingual billets. We have a hilarious parody of the issue by Cowder, showing Michael, apprentice geisha, in whiteface with the caption, "Oi, whiteys, go and get fingerprinted!" And Cowder adds, "I knocked up a quick mock poster illustrating this ludicrousy. This is just for my own amusement, of course, especially with the inclusion of you, Kikumaru, of the Red Army, saying, 'Keep Japan safe!' But I figure there has to be a t-shirt idea in there somewhere." You can see a picture up on my blog. We also have multilingual billets. The author writes, "The trilingual, as in Japanese, French, and English, tracked against fingerprints policy is done. More info on the fingerprinting protest site Reentry Japan," and there's a link from my blog. Download it, print it, show it, put it in your bar, restaurant, on your car, on your desk, give it to the immigration officer, to your friends, etc. And there are more posters, Yokoso Japan t-shirts with a fingerprint in the middle instead of the Hinomaru, which will be sent to you in time for your New Year return to Japan, and a video at my blog. We also have France 24 TV interview in French and English, calling this Japan's 1984. It's a great report with an interview with a national bureaucrat, Teranaka Makoto of Amnesty International, and yours truly. You can see a link to it up at my blog. And the New York Times calls fingerprinting a disaster for Japanese business. It's much the same ground covered in this article as others, but it's good to see a write-up this thorough, making a splash throughout the U.S. East Coast this time, and in the old gray lady, no less. This is the paper the government of Japan takes most seriously of all overseas publications, and the New York Times doesn't pull punches, devoting most of the article to the criticism. This is November 18, 2007, "New Japanese Immigration Controls Worry Foreigners" by Martin Fackler. Excerpt. Japan has tried hard in recent years to shake its image as an overly insular society and offer a warmer welcome to foreign investors and tourists. But the country is about to impose strict immigration controls that many fear could deter visitors and discourage businesses from locating here. On Tuesday, November 20th, Japan will put in place one of the toughest systems in the developed world for monitoring foreign visitors. A model on the U.S. visit programs, the measures, part of an immigration law enacted last year, have been criticized by civil rights groups and foreign residents associated as too sweeping and unnecessarily burdensome for foreigners. Some of the most vocal critics have been among foreign business leaders who say the screening could hurt Japan's standing as an Asian business center, especially if it is inefficiently carried out, leading to long waits at airports. Business groups here warn that such delays could make Japan less attractive than rival commercial hubs like Hong Kong and Singapore, where entry procedures are much easier, and it runs counter to recent efforts by the government to attract more foreign investment and tourism. Jacob Edberg, policy director in the Tokyo office of the European Business Council, is quoted as saying, "If businessmen based here have to line up for 2 hours every time they come back from traveling, it will be a disaster. This will affect real business decisions, like whether to base here." End quote. However, some civil rights groups worry that the government is using terrorism to mask a deeper, xenophobic motive behind the new measures. They say that within Japan, the government has justified the screening as an anti-crime measure, playing to widely held fears that an influx of foreigners is threatening Japan's safe streets. Quote from Sonoko Kawakami at Amnesty International Japan, "Terrorism looks like an excuse to revive the old system for monitoring foreigners. We worry that the real point of these measures is just to keep foreigners out of Japan." Rest at my blog. Finally, Accenture, maker of the fingerprint machines, is now hiring in Japan through Tiger Woods. It seems it's not just former Yomiuri pitcher Miyamoto anymore pitching this system. Accenture, i.e., formerly the crooked and now defunct Arthur Andersen, accounting firm and book cooker for Enron, is riding the wave of its cheap bid to build Japan's biometric machines by expanding its operations in Japan. You can see a photo of the Accenture ad saying, "Enjoy the challenge," and it has a picture of Tiger Woods golfing. It seems that the profiteering never stops from companies like these, especially when the government of Japan is under pressure from the local hegemon to contribute to the war effort. And no doubt buying American from Accenture helps placate. Perhaps Tiger Woods would enjoy being treated as a potential terrorist and criminal next time he comes for a round of golf in Miyazaki? You can see more about Accenture's involvement in the biometric data market on davedo.org. Mark says, "Well, we could contact Tiger Woods, you know, through the agency that sells his likeness to complain that he's advertising for a company that is directly involved in these new draconian measures he himself would be subject to if arriving without fanfare. We can contact the International Management Group, IMG, at 1 Erie View Plaza, Cleveland, Ohio, zip code 44114. Phone number 216-522-1200. And a shout out to everybody. We're also looking to recruit baseball's Tuffy Rhodes, who has lived and played here for more than 10 years, if he's amenable to helping us out. Imagine if he were to say, "The league has accepted me, the Buffaloes have accepted me, the fans have accepted me, but the government of Japan hasn't." And as Mark in Yayoi writes, he's paid in a lot more tax money than any of us have. Here is my concluding statement. Prognostications for the present course. A hastened economic obscurity for Japan. With this new fingerprinting policy, the Japanese government has proved beyond a shadow of a doubt anymore that it's run by people who are either out of touch with just how international Japan has become with globalization and the trainee visa regime since 1990, or are just plain xenophobic. What with blaming foreigners for terrorism, disease, and crime, or even just plain stupid. Look at the Ministry of Justice Minister Kunio, friend of a friend in Al-Qaeda, Hatoyama, sexing up the justifications for the fingerprinting policy. And how, if we don't have a major change in leadership at the top, i.e. at least knock the LDP from its half century in power, Japan will ultimately knock itself back into an economic backwater, no longer Asia's representative to the world, what with the rise of China. That's the way I see the lay of the land at the moment. Well, that's quite enough for this week, I think. I've heard from a couple of quarters that my newsletters are getting a little depressing. Thank God for Duran Duran, one said. Yes, darn tootin'. Let me finish with another Duran Duran track, of course. I've been using a few songs from the previous album, Astronaut 2004, because not only are they good, this one is actually quite appropriate to the timbre of this particular newsletter. It's called What Happens Tomorrow. Enjoy the lyrics in particular. And that will conclude David Hutterberg newsletter for November 28th, 2007. Thanks as always to Transpacific Radio for hosting my program. I'll see you guys all next week. Thanks for listening. Take care of yourselves. Stay chipper. We're going to get through this. Bye-bye.